Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Hello and welcome to Attacking Third. We are live on YouTube. We are going to chat about NWSL Week 11. The halfway point is here. So you know we've got a preview for you and we're going to make some picks. We're also going to talk about some breaking news as well affecting the New Jersey New York Gotham FC match against Orlando Pride. So postponement in place. Make sure you all leave us your reactions to the postponement. Maybe leave us some of your picks. Who do you got this weekend? You know, we want to hear from you, so let's go. Hey, everyone, and welcome into Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today by my special guest, Jordan Angeli, NWSL analyst. On today's show, we're going to chat all things Week 11 preview across the NWSL, and we have to talk about the postponement for Challenge Cup. We're going to lead off with that, but how you doing this morning, Jordan? Happy to see you.
I'm good. Good to see you too, Sandra. I like your Bulls championship hat. I'm hoping in a few days I'll get to rock a Nuggets one just like that.
I love that for you. For
right?
Folks who don't know, Jordan's out there repping Denver right now, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
When you don't have a literal horse in the race, you gotta roll with your friends, right?
Sure, so yeah. I just want the support. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I gotta just give all my best wishes to my friends who have a rooting interest. Gotta will it into existence. Yeah. Good game last night though by the Joker.
I know.
I'm still watching, even you know, I'm one of those people. I'm like, even if my team's not in it, I still want to watch all the fun stuff. There's nothing like playoff anything, honestly.
Anything. Hockey might be my favorite, like, alternate sport to watch playoff.
Yeah.
Hockey. But man, yeah, the Nuggets are a fun team to watch, no matter kind of who you like when it comes to basketball. They have some players that are well worth the watch. So yeah, you can't beat playoff anything. The passion,
yeah, I love it,
is all there.
No, it's the best. And I love that we're entering this kind of midway point of the season in NWSL, because we start to, you know, have a little bit more chatter about that kind of stuff. We're just like, all right, we've got a half of the season done and dusted in the books. What is this second half going to look like? It's an exciting time. My favorite, maybe my second favorite time in the NWSL, the halfway point of a season. But when everyone joined us the other day, our episode, we talked a little bit about Challenge Cup, because there was a midweek match that was going to take place in NWSL to kind of continue the group stage of Challenge Cup. We did a preview of it. We talked about the wildfires and everything impacting the East Coast right now. But we went ahead and made some picks anyway, just because at that time, there wasn't exactly an update on whether or not the game was going to continue. So we said, okay, in light of that and the unknown variables, let's go ahead and make a pick anyway. And of course, with all the moving parts that have to take place behind the scenes, and with monitoring situations, and with a little extra time, the league went ahead and made the official announcement that game has officially been postponed. So they went ahead and released a statement that said, due to poor air quality conditions in the New York metropolitan area, tonight's match between Gotham FC and Orlando Pride at Red Bull Arena has been postponed. And they further went on to state that the rescheduled match is going to now take place on August 9th at 7:30 p.m. And folks can catch that on Paramount Plus. And they went ahead and ultimately made this decision in light of the safety of players, officials, and fans. I think this was the right choice, Jordan. Did you have any like immediate kind of knee-jerk reactions when you saw something like this finally get announced?
Yeah, I think it happened pretty quickly after we got off recording, and we were kind of in the same boat here. It's really difficult to play 90 minutes of soccer no matter what, but to add something that would significantly impact your lungs and it was the right decision. It's some of those pictures I think we've all seen by now out of the New York metropolitan area, is they're not good. And so I think it was the right decision. August 9th. So that's at the end of, kind of middle of the World Cup break, where a lot of Challenge Cup games are going to be played. So it'll be interesting to see how that fits into those teams' schedules there, but it was the right choice. And it takes a lot of people coordinating those choices. So I'm glad it all came together in enough time. It was made probably what, mid-morning, that they made that decision so the teams could get on with it and start prepping for what's next.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I 100% agree. I think it's the right call that was made. I was a little curious about how the announcement was going to look like, or when that postponed date was, where it was going to fall and lie. Because when we were previewing this game, I told you how it took me back like a few years back, and how, the Pacific Northwest is not unfamiliar with having to deal with the smoky effects and poor air quality around wildfires. And in 2018, how I traveled to go cover the Red Stars in the rain, and there was a little bit of juggling there. Like, were they going to play? Were they not going to play? And ultimately, due to the air quality index, they went ahead with the game as scheduled. Now, there were alterations. There were not only water breaks, but there were two per half. So you're talking four break stoppage play. And there was going to be oxygen available, along with medical staff for both teams available on the sidelines. And ultimately, that game, of course, you can imagine it ended up in a scoreless draw. Obviously, you have the effects of the wildfires, and then all those stoppages of play, right? You are never really able to kind of get into the match. So this was in 2018. So to see this announcement from the league, I had the similar reaction. I was like, this is the right call. Yeah. This is the right choice. I know there are folks out there. I think my initial reaction to it too, I tweeted it out. I just know going into this season, it's year 11, and everything, kind of post investigations, around this league and the headlines that have sort of followed it. I think people are, looking at this year as kind of like that first official next step in this new era. And there are folks out there who are always going to want like the actual proof, right? The receipts or whatever of like the league and its clubs doing the right and correct thing. I don't know if like we can actually evaluate the league in this new area. That's going to come in a later time. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those things where you could look at and say, this is the correct decision that was made that I'm not sure it would have been made 5 years ago. So things like, having an air quality index, protocol in place that maybe is not public, but is within game day operations that they can refer to and look at and kind of analyze and move all and have all those meetings around, what's the right decision to make and everything else. So glad to see the decision ultimately come down and made official. They also, put out, for folks who had tickets to the game and refunds, and how folks can get rescheduled tickets as well if they want to go and support Gotham or in Orlando in August. So I thought it was the right move, and we'll just have to wait and see, Jordan, if our pick was correct. I think I believe we both went Gotham.
Yes, we did.
So we'll have to wait a couple months to see if we were actually
have to keep the same picks.
You know what? If you want to change it, y'all let me know. But I know we did the same thing with Angel City. I'd let you remix it to see if you wanted to go one way or the other. But we absolutely wanted to lead off the show with that, since we had talked a bit about it in our previous episode. So that's been postponed. Stay tuned for that Challenge Cup match. Let's make some picks, Jordan. Okay. We're back in the regular season. So just like that, we're back in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Week 11 is here. Let's start with Racing Louisville FC versus San Diego Wave FC Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. This one's kicking things off for the weekend. We've got a couple teams with some momentum here. Mm-hmm. Jordan, I love it. I mean, San Diego Wave kind of putting themselves in a position where you don't want to pick against a team like that just because of what they've been able to put together out on the pitch. But I kind of feel similarly about Racing Louisville. This is a team that has shown that they can hang and make some things uncomfortable for some of those upper half table teams. Do you have a winner in this one? Do you have a loser? You're feeling maybe the significance of a draw?
Well, when you're talking, the first thing I think of is Racing Louisville has been waiting for a year where they can say they're a team with some momentum, because it has been a tough start for the first couple of years for them. And they finally got into the place where they are one of the teams that we talk about in a really positive way of what they're building in racing. So this is a game that where they're at home. San Diego has been so good on the road, 3 victories on the road. No team in NWSL has gone 4 victories in a row on the road, but I don't think they're going to do it. I think this is going to be a draw, because both of these teams, I think, are creating enough going forward. San Diego, second most goals in the league right now. So they're finding a way to find the back of the net, as they did last week against Gotham. And so I think that Racing is going to do enough to get on the board. I think there are going to be goals in this game, but I think that they're going to split points, because both of these teams have good defensive structures, but attacking wise, they can give you a lot of different things that make it hard to manage. So goals, but it's going to be a draw, Sandra.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Look, I love it. You're coming right out the gate with the draw. I respect it. I respect the draw so much, especially in this league, because it's tough to get results in NWSL. I think any player across any club will tell you that. And this is the match that I've gone a little bit back and forth on. I think it's appropriate. I think it's fitting that this is the game that's kicking off week 11. That's really
Friday games.
Yeah, that it's launching everyone into the official second half of the season. Like this is the game, right? So I respect the draw so much. But
okay, bring it.
Sometimes streaks come to an end, and I feel like maybe this is going to be a challenge for the Wave on the road against Louisville. I don't know if it's going to be this lopsided high goal scoring affair, because I am with you 100% on some of the defensive shapes for the team during stretches of the game. But I think there's enough there for Louisville to have taken a look at over some of their previous matches to kind of build on and say, okay, let's get back to putting together a 90-minute performance and come out with a win, not just a result or a draw. Let's come out with an actual win here. I think this is a game too where that has two teams where there are still some individual performances where I want to see a little bit more from as well. That's another reason why I really like this matchup. How is Bjorkegaard going to use Katlana? You know, is this, I want to see this player, have one of those kind of statement kind of, we've seen them already from like Savannah DeMello, we've seen the non-sophomore slump for Jalen Howell, and what she's quietly having a productive season for Racing as well. You know, Abby Ersig and Carson Pickett are showing that they're great pickups for this team in the offseason. So there are still some pieces there that I'm looking at for Racing that I want to see them have those big games and those big moments, those highlight reel type of moments. And I'm looking at Canoe and I'm looking at Katlan as well. But it all really depends, I think, on how Bjorkegaard kind of maps things out and tries to utilize those types of players. And I think for Racing as well, now that they've got Taylor Korniak, I think you really want to see that kind of Taylor Korniak-esque type of game. She's someone that they've been missing in the course of the first half of the season, and now it looks like they're finally getting her back and ready to go for this second half of the season. So I think if she has a really good game for San Diego, we obviously can, you know, things can look a little different there as well.
Very different when she's on the pitch. I will say, going back to racing, they've tinkered with who they've played at the nine over a number, not just this year, but last year as well. And I think they finally settled on Kirsten Davis. And I like Davis up there because of what she can add to this team. And she simplifies things for them. She is a good target nine. She can connect the lines for them. And that's what they really need. They need someone to connect the line so DeMello can come in that free role to run forward when she's receiving the ball off of maybe a layoff from Davis. So I like what they have built with her. I agree with you. Some of those other players, especially Katlana, I want to see a little more from her, but she also needs more minutes. I think they're being very cautious of building her back in after that Achilles injury, but they're hard to deal with. I like Wang Shuang comes all the way. Like, their fluidity and movement and how they switch lines is really interesting. I think last, when we did our recap, I was saying this racing squad tinkers with things, and they give you little wrinkles that are hard to deal with that are very specific to the opponent. So I'm interested to see what they'll do against a San Diego Wave team who's had success on the road. You kind of know what you're going to get from them. How is Bjorka Grin going to game plan against that is going to be the thing to watch.
Absolutely. You're going draw. I'm going win for racing. I'm going narrow. Do you have a narrow draw? You have goals in this one?
Oh, there's goals. I think it's hard to stop Jaden Shaw, Alex Morgan combination. Yep. So I think it'll just be 1-1. Nothing crazy, but there's going to be goals.
And racing's not unfamiliar with that at this point either. Yeah. So,
there's only been one goal scored between these two teams. I mean, they've only played each other a couple of times, but so it's been rather low scoring games. But these teams feel a lot different this year, I would say, too.
Yeah, no, they do. All right. Well, I'm curious. Well, of course, we'll see how it shakes out. Let's pivot to another game. We've got Washington Spirit versus Angel City, a real East Coast versus West Coast battle. Mm-hmm. This one's kicking off 7 p.m. Eastern. Jordan, when we're looking at this matchup, I wanted to look at this matchup and say there's going to be a clear winner. And I thought it was going to be Washington Spirit. So I'll lead in this one and say I'm going to go Spirit in this one. But I'm not making this pick with a lot of confidence, even though we just saw a really tough loss for Angel City. When we recapped that game, we kind of gave it its own special attention, right? Because it was its own game on Monday night. It wasn't a game that we got to recap right away. We had to wait till our midweek episode. You were on the call. You got the best close-up of all of us here. And we kind of closed out that recap saying, like, look, they had a loss, but they had some momentum going to close out that game. Really huge a boost from the return of Sydney LaRue, whether it's just a morale or emotional kind of a boost going into this next week. But I just don't know if that's going to be enough to carry them in a game against the Spirit. Although I think the Spirit closed out their May not as well as they did their April. I still think that they have enough pieces across their roster to come away with a win. Although I don't think this is going to be some wild high scoring type of match, despite on one side you have a Hatch, Rodman, Sanchez, you know, and then on Angel City, McCaskill, Thompson, and now LaRue back in the mix. I just don't think this will boil down to like a 4-4 wild draw or something like that. I think there's a winner and a loser in this one, but I'm going to go Spirit by a slight edge. Okay. Maybe this is the game that catapults them back into the form that they've been looking for and really kick off their June.
Yeah, I think if you look at these two lineups, look at them and match them up and say, okay, I think just from what the Spirit have and who they could start with, this looks like a better starting 11. More consistent, cohesive. They know what is expected out of them in that 4-4-2. But I would say the way Angel City has been trying to play, and if they can be effective in how they're trying to play, they want to get to the channels and they want to cross the ball. And when you're playing a 4-4-2 diamond, that is a space that can be overloaded. You can get a really compact midfield. So, you know, I was chirping on Angel City and their midfield and how I don't think they were doing good enough in getting the ball and affecting the game. But now with so many numbers, if you think about it, there'll be seven numbers centrally in this match. The space is going to be wide. So can they utilize that space to at least stretch the diamond out for Washington? And I think if Angel City can be good enough with the ball in building through the lines and stretching Washington out, they're going to have their chances through crosses, which they have the most crosses in the league. This is a team who is dependent on crossing the ball. They just have to pick the right moment to, or the right ball to pick out in the box. So I'm kind of going with a wild card. I'm going to say Angel City takes this one on the road against Washington. Washington's on a 3-game home run and they've had 2 draws. And I think that that is what you were just saying, a little disappointing for them because when you look at their roster, they need to be more effective, especially at home. They haven't lost at home, but 2 draws in back-to-back games, especially this last one being up a man for a significant chunk of the end of the game. They need to be more effective in the box. So I'm going to go Angel City. I think it's going to be a good game. There's going to be goals in it, but what I'm most interested to see is this is a big question mark for us when we talked about our national team rosters and our locks. We're going to see Andy Sullivan and we're going to see Julie Ertz and they're going to be playing against each other.
Yeah.
Who can figure out how to break the other team down? And I know that these aren't like playmaking type players, but they start the attack a lot of the time. Those two players, you want them on the ball. You want them to start the attack. So can they positively affect attacks going forward for their squads? But also, how good are they defensively in those moments where they have to be shifty and block up plays at the top of the box? I know it's on a like-for-like matchup. Like, they're not going to go head-to-head against each other.
No, it's a good 1v1, though, to keep an eye on. Absolutely.
It is a good one to keep an eye on because there's a lot of chatter about these two players and how effective they can be this summer.
No, I love that. Yeah, I think that's the other exciting part about when you get to this point in a season that you've got all these weeks of matches to take a look at, and you've got players who are, you know, maybe, you know, they have like a breakout game throughout those previous 10 weeks, or they've had some standout performances for their teams. You know, I mean, we talk about it even with these bottom table teams that even though they're struggling to get points on the table, you can look across the roster and say, okay, even though your team is not having a great season, here's a player that's performing well for team A, B, or C, right? And Angel City, I think, is one of those teams as well that we've kind of have had in that conversation. But I think those are really good points that you bring up. I love that we are starting off the show with a little bit of parody draw.
Yeah,
Angel City spirit. I love it. We'll see. We started off with our picks not too long ago the same way, and then we ended up making similar picks all the way around. So we'll see. We've got more to make. Stick with us. We're going to take a quick break.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right!
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
They say patience is a virtue. But for some things, we can't wait.
All right. Let's keep it rolling. Let's keep making some predictions for week 11. Let's start with Chicago Red Stars and North Carolina Courage for this segment. This one's kicking off on Saturday at 8 p.m. The Courage, Hit a little bit of a snag, got a loss that they're coming off of heading into week 11. The Red Stars coming off of two consecutive regular season wins. Would you say one team has more momentum going into a match like this? The Red Stars are at home, Jordan. Does that sway you any one way or the other? Who do you feel is going to get the points in this one? Or are they going to split them?
Oh, I hate splitting points, and I don't want to do it. So you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm gonna go with a winner in this one, which is going to be, you know, I loved what I saw from Chicago because it was the fight that we saw in the cohesion and the togetherness in that game on Monday night. They have two back-to-back wins. They are unbeaten. I don't know if you realize this, unbeaten against North Carolina at home in Chicago, which is, you know, think about North Carolina and how good they've had. They've had spells where they've been by far the best team in this league. So maybe Chicago has North Carolina's number. But one of the things that North Carolina has loved doing this year is they want the ball and they want it all game long. They have gone from about 55% to 70% possession in games, which is mad, Sandra. Like, they are so good at keeping the ball and manipulating defenses. And on, is it Toyota Stadium or Toyota Field? What's the where is the Red Stars play?
It is now the newly branded SeatGeek Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's folks refer to it sometimes as the Geek.
They have fun with it. The Geek, forget I said those other two words. The Geek is a large field. I remember playing there as a player, and it is so ginormous. That is going to favor North Carolina because they're going to stretch the Chicago team out. And I think North Carolina takes this one first win on the road against Chicago. And a lot of it is going to have to do with that midfield of Speck, O'Sullivan, and Narumi, who have been so good. So good. They balance each other really well. They see ideas that they each one can execute. And I think Speck has been a little bit of the workhorse in there. Usually it's O'Sullivan, but I think it's been more Speck, which frees up O'Sullivan and Narumi to play the ball, like play that line breaking pass or be creative in the way that they build the ball up. So unfortunately I'm going against the Red Stars and the lucky pine cone, but I don't know, the lucky pine cone could be the difference maker.
The X factor, right? How can we forget about the lucky pine cone? Listen, I think you make incredibly valid points, and I think you might be correct in this one. Look, the other side of that coin, though, we're talking about possession. It's interesting to even mention this when we're talking about the Red Stars, because something that's been coming out of the coaching staff is possession or Chicago's struggle or lack of that, because they started this season with that as part of their team identity. They wanted to have the ball. Yeah. They wanted to make sure that they were on the ball at all times and make it difficult for other teams to try to play through them, essentially. And that has not quite panned out for this team over the course of their first half of the season. They've made some minor adjustments, right, that we've seen in these previous two regular season results. And they maybe are showing themselves that they can do a little bit more when they concede some of that possession as well. And I think at this point, when you are sitting this low in the bottom half of the table and you are about to embark on the second half, you maybe have to lean into the things that are working for your team. We will see this. We'll continue to see Carolina's style through this second half of the season. They will come into the SeatGeek Stadium and keep that ball and want to retain it and try to make sure that they're going to do, you know, cool things with it, like score goals. Maybe Chicago's going to have to be content to try to concede a little bit of that. I'm very curious to see how it's going to all shake out. But I love that you brought up the record with Chicago against North Carolina Courage at home. I think it's an important one to keep an eye on and keep fresh in the back of your mind. There's been some really good battles between these two clubs in the past. But as we look at these teams coming together now, two very different teams in terms of the personnel that are going to be involved on both sides of the pitch. So it's tough for me to let go of some of that history, even though I know what we're looking at in present day. But I still think there's not enough for Chicago here to get a win. But I do think they might have enough to get a draw. So this,
right.
This is actually going to be my draw for the week, because while the Courage like to keep the ball and they have shown us that they are capable of playing some very pretty soccer, they mm-hmm. haven't quite shown us that they're capable of stacking up and racking up those goals. And
true.
Chicago has shown that they've been able to get one or possibly two now
yeah.
in a close, tight, kind of contested match. And that's why I think this one might come down to a narrow draw.
Yeah. Matchup for the game for me, Caroline Krueger.
It's gonna be fun. Make sure you tune in, folks, and take a look at that one. Let's make another pick. Let's go with another Midwestern team going up against a West Coast team this time. It's OL Reign versus Kansas City Current. This one, your NWSL action after dark. It's gonna kick off at 10 p.m. Eastern. Okay, we've got the Current coming off of a win.
Yeah.
Jordan, does this sway you in any type of way as they go up against a team who are, let's be real, considered contenders to go out and win titles this year?
It does not sway me.
All right.
It does not sway me. Although I think that Kansas City got their groove back last game. We saw them play more like themselves than we have. And I would say themselves is what we saw at the end of last year, where they weren't overthinking that the movements and the transitions between offense and defense were very fluid. Where I feel like when they switched coaches this year, it felt like everybody was trying to do the right thing for the coach, which I totally appreciate. And I know I've been there at some point in my career. But they started trusting their instincts again. And I think that allowed them to get a good win at home. But when there's a little bit of baggage in this game, Sandra, the last time Kansas City went to OL Reign, it was a 2-0 win in semifinal to push Kansas City into the championship last year. So I was kind of looking at what OL Reign at home, they lost 4-1. They won 4-1. They just lost 2-0. I'm going, they're going to win 2-0. I just feel like they're in a pattern. It's a loss win. So the win is up next. They're going, trying to give Kansas City a little taste of their own medicine as Kansas beat them 2-0 at Lumen Field last year. It feels like this Reign squad, even in when they're not winning, they're knocking on the door. And I think that that's always been the big question mark is, can they execute in the attacking third to make these beautiful buildups or these moments where you're like, they are unstoppable and then they don't hit the frame.
Yeah.
Can they capitalize on those? I think it's going to be, tighter than some of the games we've seen at Lumen Field for the Reign and an opponent this year, because I feel like Kansas City has done a good job of finding some cohesion in this really tight, compact block that they played in the last game. They need to stick to those same principles defensively, but I'm thinking the Reign take this one.
All right. This is going to be a game where you and I pick the same team.
Okay.
I'm going to go Reign as well. We were due for one.
Yep.
And this is going to be the match. I'm because I'm in agreement with everything that you've stated so far. I think this is maybe going to be that kind of little bit of a bounce back game for the Reign. I think they're disappointed to have closed out that game against Portland the way they did. Big rivalry game at home. You know, you never want to do that in front of your home side against your biggest rival. I mean, and again, we're doing these ahead of availability reports and when they drop, right?
Yeah.
And I know everyone's curious to see is this going to be the game that Roosevelt is possibly available for? But I think again, the Reign are a deep team in the league. They've showed that they are going to be able to compete with or without her at this point. And I think even when you're looking at the opposition against Kansas City, they definitely have enough to compete. They definitely have enough to make sure that they dominate that midfield or at the very least kind of isolate some things or cancel some things out. And I would love to see Elise Bennett get another start with Laura Harvey against her former team against Kansas City Current. And I would really love for her to get a goal as well. You love that to see that kind of stuff. Those are the storylines that we take a look at and keep an eye on. So I'm curious to see who's going to be in that starting 11.
Yeah. And with that point, who's going to be in the starting 11? I think if OL Reign has Jess Fishlock in the starting 11, it helps them against this Kansas City side. Because if you look at their midfield, they're quick, they're pacey, they have a good agility, and Jess Fishlock can match that. Whereas I don't feel like they had that with Quinn in the last game. So I think with Jess Fishlock in there, if she's available, that would be a really big boost for OL Reign. I mean, not just because she's Jess Fishlock, but when you're talking about that matchup in the midfield.
No, 100%. Because, I mean, look, let's not act like any team can get the better of any team on any given Sunday. This is, again, one of those matches. I mean, who knows? There could be a moment where, you know, Kansas City realizes, like, hey, listen, we're not going to get a lot of chances, so we'll just have to be clinical when we can.
Well, that's they're
capable of that. You know, with now the return of Chris and Hamilton, and they still got CeCe Kaiser and Davinia, we know can always make pay for mistakes and on a dime. So I'm curious to see who's going to be available and who's going to be in that starting lineup specifically for Laura Harvey. But we're both going Reign in this one. We think there's enough there for them to get the bounce back in the regular season for this one. So we'll see if we're correct. It's always dangerous when we go two for two in a game, no matter who's on the show making the picks. So we'll see where we lie with the remainder of our final picks. We got two more games to get through, but stick with us right after a break.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
The Portland Thorns fly east for their battle with Orlando Pride, Sunday on CBS Sports Network.
All right, let's make our final two picks of the weekend. We are going to start with Houston Dash versus Gotham FC. This one is going to help close out week 11. It's kicking off on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Gotham does not have a midweek match under their belt now going into this game. Jordan, does that sway you? Does the return of Juan Carlos Amoros to Houston sway you? Is there some type of extra motivation there, or added motivation to kind of go out and nab this win? Even though Gotham is coming off of a loss, does that sway you? Do you think that they're going to get back in the win column with a game like this?
Gotham?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I do. I think Gotham's taking this one. But there's a few things that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head. One, what has Gotham done to get away? I mean, if you can't play a game, you can't train in the conditions. So have they... after the game was canceled, did they manage their travel so they could get to Houston a little bit earlier to get some trainings in a place where they could play outside? How are they managing these couple of days where a real curveball has been thrown their way that nobody was expecting? So I think the management of those things for Gotham is going to be important. For Houston, this is a team who hasn't been good at home, and somehow they found a way last week to find a victory. Whatever they did to prep for that game, whoever did the pregame speech, whoever they high-fived on the way in, maybe just recreate all those things because it worked for them. They put on a performance that they should be proud of at home. So they're going to need that same type of energy. But the reason I go with Gotham is I look at the midfield of this Gotham squad, and they are so intelligent, and their footballing quality and ideas when they have the ball, I think, is just going to overpower this Houston team. Now, Houston's been good in games where they haven't had a lot of the possession, and I think of that Kansas City game where they score just on the brink of halftime through a quick transition with Sanchez and Ordonez being the two that connected on the end of that. So I think Houston will pose problems for Gotham because of the way that they can go quick in transition. And sometimes I think this Gotham back line can be susceptible to that. We saw it at home early on in the second half of their last match. But I got to go Gotham with just the way that Juan Carlos Amoros has them playing. And they are so tricky with how they build the ball up and what areas they decide to execute their plays in. In Williams, they have Lynn Williams, who is going to be rested, and she is just difficult for Texas in general. She scores goals. She has 4 goals, 4 assists, and 8 away games against the Dash. That's a pretty good record if you're Lynn Williams. I mean, it's easy to have that many goals against a team when you have 60 in the league. So it's going to be a handful for Houston. So I have to go with the Dash. I think they're going to run away with this one. I mean, I'm going to go with Gotham. They're going
to run away. Hold on a second. I'm like, you dropped a – I love what you mentioned about Lynn Williams, though. That's always such a mic drop. It's so at this point, you know, in terms of her form for the league and what we've seen her kind of, you know, do for Gotham week in and week out. It's just even when she's not scoring – you know, just this player that teams have to constantly account for. It's like
no one wants her sprinting at them defensively while they're trying to build the ball out of the back. Like, no, thank you. I don't want it.
Yeah. So I'm also going with Gotham in this one. As high as I am right now on Ordonez, Sanchez, Alozi, I think this is the trio that maybe the Dash need to continue working with a little bit in this second half of the season. I know they maybe tried to get that unit to work with Salmon, Sanchez, and Ordonez, but just didn't click, I think, the way they were anticipating. So, again, I'm curious about the availability reports, who's going to be available in this match for both sides of the pitch. But I'm with you. I think even with this recent loss for Gotham, it's not one where they're going to keep their heads down for too long. They know they can go up against the team in the Dash and account for their threats. I think they're going to take a look at what's been out there for Houston at this point. I think they're going to try to task someone with sticking with Maria Sanchez because she's obviously the catalyst and the key to their entire attack. She's shown us that it doesn't matter if it's Ordonez who's available or unavailable, or Salmon or Lozi at this point, as long as you've got Sanchez in some capacity to kickstart that attack. That's what matters. There's enough out there right now at this point for teams to say, well, we try to contain this aspect of their attack. We'll be okay everywhere else. And I think that Juan Carlos Amoros knows that probably better than anyone at this point. So I'm also going with Gotham in this one. Look, we're starting to do this, Jordan. We're starting to make the same picks.
It gets two in a row.
It makes dangerous when we do that. But again, well, if we're incorrect, we'll have to talk about it and see how it happened and see why. So we're both going Gotham in this one. That means we have one final pick to make for the episode. Let's close it out with Orlando Pride versus Portland Thorns FC. This one also helping to close out week 11. It kicks off on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can catch this one on CBS Sports Network, so make sure you don't miss out. Portland coming off of a big regular season win against their rivals, Noel Rain, and the Pride trying to get back in to that win column. Yeah. I gotta say, Jordan, I'm just going to make this one quick for me.
Do it.
I don't think this is the game where they get back in that win column. I don't think they do it against the Thorns. Thorns just too good this season, like looking like a team who are trying to run it back. I'm going Thorns.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do anything crazy here, and I'm gonna say the Thorns as well, because I think this, I want to talk about Orlando though against this Thorns team, because Orlando has you know, we've seen the only rookie player to play every single minute in this Orlando Pride team, and it's Emily Madrill, and she's been really good and settled her way into playing as a center back. And when I'm thinking about how you manage this Thorns squad, it really has to do with how organized, how good your communication is when you're in your defensive structure, and how compact you can be to deny them some of the trickery they like to have at the top of the box. So I think this is going to be the biggest test we see for Emily Madrill, and for her to say, okay, I'm going up against not just the best forward right now in Sophia Smith, but against midfielders where now I have to manage the players in front of me and my midfielders, my sixes, which I think Orlando might need to play with two sixes in this match just to help protect that space in front of their center backs. Can she manage her teammates, but also the spacing, how she closes space? She has the recovery speed to get, if the ball is played through, she can get back and cover that. So I think this will be a really big test for Madrill, and not like it's pass fail, because for her, she's young and she's going to continue to use every single game as a way to propel herself in her progress in this league. So I'm interested to see how she handles this game, but just what I'm saying, you know, you're going to be constantly thinking about how many different weapons this Portland Thorns team has. And if it's not those two people, it's Crystal Dunn, it's Christine Sinclair coming off the bench, it's how they utilize their outside backs to get in the play. It's the youngster Olivia Moultrie and what she can do. I mean, get out, Sandra. We could talk about all these players and how difficult they are. The biggest thing for the Thorns is how they manage a cross-country trip, because we saw them the last time they went all the way across, I think, was against North Carolina, and that was a 3-3 game. Yep. I called that game. It was absolutely bonkers and fun and wild. So I do think there are going to be goals in this game for the Pride. It's just, can they manage their spacing and their defensive structure against just a high-flying Portland squad?
No, I'm with you. I think that's a valid point to make. You know, don't ever let anyone tell you that travel is irrelevant. I think especially when you're making a truly West Coast trip to an East Coast trip.
Yeah, like opposite sides of the country.
Yeah, literally. It's tough on the body for sure. I think it's an important point that you make, one I agree with. Look, this is going to be the second time these two teams go head-to-head. I mean, Orlando had to open up their season against the Thorns squad, you know, and it was not a pretty game. I mean, it was completely lopsided victory for the Thorns all the way. It was a 4-0 blowout. And Orlando looked lost. They looked like they didn't have a lot of ideas and how to counteract react to what they were being presented by the Thorns, essentially. So I think it might be a little different. I'm with you in that maybe there's going to be some goals and Orlando might have enough to get one of their own. But that doesn't mean I think that they're going to walk away with a win in this one. I think you're motivated by that kind of stuff. I'm more than sure and 100% positive that this team has had this game maybe marked on their calendars. They don't want to go out there and sustain another kind of demoralizing, lopsided victory. If anything, they're going to want to show that they are not the same team that they were in March, that they are now in June. I'm hopeful that we're going to see a competitive match, some good individual 1v1 battles on the pitch. But again, we were talking about depth for OL Reign. We got to talk about that here with the Thorns. You mentioned it. I agree with it. It's just a really deep bench. They just have so many pieces that they can roll out there to impact the game. Yeah. And I think we're going to see that come to light again in a match like this with the Thorns and Orlando. So I think they just have a little bit more in theirs.
I agree. One last point is you mentioned how different a team this Orlando Pride is. And I think it all pivots on that game when they won away at San Diego. Yep. They went down a goal early. They went down a goal really early and they managed to come back and win that game 3-1. And they went down a goal early in Portland and they couldn't find themselves back in the game. They were lost. And I think one of the things you see with some of these teams, I think Racing, North Carolina and Orlando are three of the teams I think of right off the top of my head. They had some really tough mistakes at the beginning of the year, like really tough mistakes, shot themselves in the foot, were putting themselves in bad positions, but they kept working through that. And they said, we're going to commit to how we want to play. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to learn from them and we're going to get better. And I think this Pride squad has made giant leaps, and I like what they're trying to do under Seb Hines. I think he really has a good grasp on the culture, and this squad is mentally in such a different place than they were in that first game. So even if they go down a goal, I think that they are going to have the fight to get back in this in some way or shape or form, because they've also prided themselves on, okay, can we be better at home so we can get more people to come to our games and make this a really difficult place to play? But that hinges on wins. It hinges on performances. So I think they're going to come out with a good performance. It's just not going to be able to break this Thorn squad down enough.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, you know what, Jordan, we'll have to keep an eye on it, because we started off with some parity in the different picks, but guess what? We're closing it out with three of the same picks now for this episode. So we'll see if we're correct and where our picks land in a recap. But that is a wrap for us today on A3. Thank you all so much for joining us on Attacking Third. Download, follow, listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us too. So go ahead and subscribe at youtube.com/attackingthird. And we'll be back on Sunday following two matches that are going to take place: Houston versus Gotham and Orlando versus Portland. So come and kick it with us for a full recap. All right, stay tuned. For Sandra Dada and Jordan Angeli, this was Attacking Third.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.